This is Matt Wells at UN News. Several climate records were broken in 2019 across the world, including unprecedented temperature highs and extreme weather events. Ahead of the launch of the World Meteorological Organization's flagship report, WMO's Statement on the State of the Global Climate in 2019, the agency's Secretary General, Pateri Talas, sat down with Ben Mellor from UN News and started by outlining some of the main points from the study.
For example, we have highest concentration of carbon dioxide in past 3 million years, and the measurements were showing that last year we were again having higher concentrations of carbon dioxide than the previous year. The same is happening for methane, which is the second most important greenhouse gas, and we have seen the warming of the temperature continued, and we have broken several regional temperature records in Australia, in several West European countries, and also elsewhere. Last year was the second warmest year on record since 1850. Then we have stored more than 90% of the extra heat to oceans, and ocean seawater is record warm because of that, and that's giving more energy for the tropical storms. Sea level rise continues, and it has been boosting, so we have seen an increase in the sea level rise also last year. The glaciers are melting worldwide, and we have especially been melting the glacier of Greenland, which is contributing to the sea level rise, and also the mountain glaciers are melting, and that's bad news when it comes to freshwater release to the major rivers in the world, having their origin from Himalayas, Alps, Andean region, and Rocky Mountains. So that's bad news for the freshwater resources, for agriculture and for human beings and industry. So all in all, climate change continues, and we have also seen record-breaking forest fires like in Australia, where we had before that record-breaking temperatures and drought, and we have seen also severe drought in Mexico, Caribbean, in some parts of Europe, and also in South African countries.
So all in all, records have been broken, bad records. How confident are you that governments around the world have really caught on to the seriousness of this message so that they could take the right action for the sake of the people around the world?
I think that the awareness is higher than ever, but the action is very much missing. Countries made the Paris pledges in 2015, and that would mean 3 degrees warming, which is already beyond the Paris 1.5 to 2 degrees, and so far the countries haven't been fulfilling their Paris pledges. So we are not moving towards 1.5 to 2 degrees, which is the Paris limits, nor towards 3 degrees, which were the pledges the countries made. We are rather moving towards 4 to 5 degrees by the end of this century. So there's clearly a need for higher ambition level if we are serious with the climate mitigation.
There is a target for all governments, all the people, everybody concerned, to try and turn this situation around by the year 2030, which is the deadline for the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals. Is that still realistic with all these bad records?
We have also seen positive development. For example, private sector is more and more interested in being part of the solution, and we have also started seeing finance sector moving their investments from fossil businesses towards more sustainable businesses, and also the youth movement is putting pressure on governments and people all around the world. They understand this, that this is perhaps the number one problem that the mankind is facing today. So there are also plenty of good signs that we have started moving in the right direction. Actually, in the developed countries last year, the emissions were dropping, which is good news, despite the economy was growing, and we have been able to show that you can detach economic growth from the emission growth. But the bad news is that in the rest of the world, the emissions were growing last year, and that's one of the challenges. So if we want to solve this problem, we have to have all of the countries on board.
If you compare this year to the previous year, what would you say in terms of the preparedness by everyone, every government, every major institution to tackle extreme weather within this year?
So my organization is very much supporting our members to improve their early warning capacity, and this kind of early warnings of drought, flooding, storms, and record temperatures, that's a very powerful way to adapt to climate change. This negative trend in climate will continue for the coming decades anyhow, which means growing amount of weather-related disasters, and we have to be prepared for that, and we have to invest in early warning services. And it's important to invest also on impact-based forecasting. For example, when Cyclone Idai was hitting Mozambique, the Met Service was able to forecast the meteorological parameters well, but the impacts of those were not understood, and that's why the disaster was, we were having lots of casualties and lots of economic losses, because the authorities didn't act and the impact wasn't understood. So from WMO's side, we are happy to help the countries to build their impact-based early warning service capacity.
WMO, from your statement just now, is having better capacity to alert people in better time to prepare for any disasters that are coming. Is that correct?
So we are a member-based organization, and we have 193 members, and each of our member has a national meteorological service, and we are very much transforming the know-how from our most developed members towards our less developed members, and we are working together with finance institutions like World Bank, Green Climate Fund, and UNDP to target more resources for this kind of capacity development. So the situation is improving all the time, but we still have plenty of countries. About half of our member countries could improve their performance.
Is that towards making early warning better to save lives, to save situations, to prepare people better? How good is the early warning system improvement over the last year or two?
So we have seen gradual improvement, and that's one of the issues that WMO is dealing with, and what we were able to forecast one day before in the past, we can now forecast it even 5 days in advance, and countries are much better prepared. Even in developing countries, we have seen major improvement, but we haven't been able to reach the optimal situation yet. There are further investments needed by the donors and also by the individual governments, and that's a very powerful way to adapt and protect both the economies and people from the impacts of climate change.
All of us, anywhere around the world, everybody is preoccupied with the outbreak of COVID-19, which is leading to a significant downturn in economic activity around the world. In the same way that the Australian fire saw a rise in CO2 emissions, is there any silver lining in the way that the world is trying to handle COVID-19 in the form of any spin-offs in terms of lower emissions during this period?
Of course, we should be very much concerned of the casualties that we have had because of this virus, and the story is not over yet. So it may have a negative impact on the global economy, which is bad news, and we have already seen it has having an impact on the air quality in China, for example, once they have been closing some parts of the country, and there's been less traffic and less industrial production. But this is not good news. So all in all, we should be concerned of this, of the casualties related to this virus, and we hope that this outbreak will be solved and we can go back to normal life. And one should keep in mind that that we still have the major climate problem to be solved. So this, despite of this virus, we should continue best efforts for mitigation of climate change.